Let's go ahead and get started on this subject. Let's go ahead and take a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And last week was a little bit more lecture. I want to be quick on that part so we can have more discussion on this subject. Tonight's subjects were chosen by me, for me and my wife, as God led me, based on my experience in counseling marriages. Lately, I haven't had as many, but it seemed like my pastorate year 10 to pastorate year 16. Is that me? Pastorate year 10? Pastorate year 10 to year 16, I was just swamped with marriage counseling. And it wasn't church members, it was people from the community. And a lot of marriages are struggling today. And so I heard mostly from women that the thing they struggle with the most is security. They want to feel secure in their marriage. Obviously, other things made the list, but love, want to be loved more. We talked about that last week, about putting your marriage first. And my wife is going to talk to the women about what men want most, which is support, or support and respect together. So tonight I want to talk about the subject of providing security for your wife. And it doesn't matter how many years we've been married, it's always something that we as men, as husbands, should dutifully give to our wife. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, God chose to use the relationship of Jesus Christ and the church to that of the husband and the wife. If you read in the verse 22, verse 21 is a good verse to start. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. If you look at verse number 29, it says this. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but watch this, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I decided to look up the definition for security, and the top two definitions were simply, number one is simply being safe from harm, danger, risk. But the second definition is freedom from care, anxiety, or doubt. Having a level of confidence. And I want to start off with a subject we all as men like, or most of us like at least, is guns, all right? We love guns. How many of you know the original reason the Second Amendment was written? The Second Amendment is always a big subject in political campaigns. But sadly, people don't even realize the original reason the Second Amendment was written. Anybody know the original reason why it was written? To protect yourself from who? The government. That's exactly right. Today it has become an issue of who should own guns. But the original writing, our founding fathers were wise to foresee that the day would come that our government, and by the way, we're almost there, or we are there, where our guns are here to protect us from our own government. So why do some people dare to ignore it? Because they don't read, Dad. I know, people are so in love with TV they don't read history. But, right. He says, why don't people know that? It's true, Dad. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Now, the original reason for the Second Amendment is this. But recently I had a gentleman call me, and I guess he thought I was a gun expert. I don't claim to be any gun expert, but I know a little bit about guns. I have my CCW. I carry with me almost all the time. I believe I should. I want to protect my wife and kids. I had a lady many years ago come to me. She doesn't come to church anymore. Maybe this is why. She came to me and says, I don't think a pastor should own a gun. I said, let me make you feel better. I own a gun as a husband and a father. Does that make you feel better? She didn't like that answer. But it's true. I own a gun as a husband and a father. But today, he's asking me for a gun. And I asked him, point blank, why do you want a gun? He said, to protect me from bad guys. So he's buying a gun now for a different reason than the original reason our founding fathers wrote it. And today, may I suggest to you that God originally wrote the role of a husband and the role of a wife. And because men have failed to provide that security, they have to take matters into their own hands. They have to do it themselves. So because if our Second Amendment was written originally to protect us from the government, then it's safe to assume that the government is supposed to do its job to protect us from our enemies with secure borders and so on, right? I'm not turning this to a political message today. There's plenty of that to come with November coming soon. But you see my point. Because our government has failed in that, many men feel compelled to protect their families because of what's being let in. And I'll be honest with you, the only business that Obama has been very good for is the gun business. I was talking to a gun owner just recently, and he said, the only thing we're sad about Obama leaving the office is maybe our gun sales will dip a little bit. He has been a revival for gun owners. Gun business has taken off. Anytime he says something about gun control, they say they'll stand in line to buy guns. Again, because of the original reason being to protect us from the government, now we've gotten to the point where we have to protect ourselves. The government's failed in that area. We have to take matters in our own hands. Let me tell you something. A woman is never supposed to take matters in her own hands when it comes to the subject of trying to be the man of the house. All right, now watch this, okay? So number one, we have to see the reason for our marriage, okay? The reason for the Second Amendment. I use that as an example, but that's parallel to marriage. The reason for our marriage. God gave us marriage. We talked about that last week. I won't spend a lot of time on that. There's a reason for marriage. God gave us a relationship in this marriage, and God likens it to salvation. The relationship of Christ to the church. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big deal. Now watch this. In that comparison, I think the ladies got it easy. They're the church. We're Christ. That ought to scare us a little bit. That ought to intimidate us because our standard is Jesus Christ, His relationship to the church. And can I ask you a question? Has Jesus been good to the church for 2,000 years? Has He been good to the church for 2,000 years? But by the way, let's take the challenge. I mean, I want to be the kind of husband and wife that Jesus is to the church. All right, so that's the reason. Now watch this. Here's what's happened, though. We have the reversal. We have role reversal in America today. Role reversal. Okay? Now watch this. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 28 talks about Christ, His intent, what He's supposed to do to the church. And sadly today, marriages in America have become like this. The church is becoming the Christ for her own church. And that's not the way it's supposed to go. And within our marriages today, even, and I'm not talking about single moms, we're talking to married men here. And people that will hear this online probably married men. Many women within their house have lost security because they are supposed to be looking to somebody who's supposed to lead the way. He's dropped the ball. And so she's now having to assume the role that she's not supposed to assume. Going back to my original illustration, I buy my guns really to protect me from the government. By the way, if the government ever comes to try to take my guns, I can really exercise the Second Amendment at that point because that's the reason it was started, to protect me from the government taking my guns. I understand that. Now, on that journey and understanding that decision our founding fathers wrote, if someone tries to harm my family, I'll be glad to use the gun to protect my family in that instance, too. But in marriages today, the roles have been reversed. And let me tell you one big reason why. And I'm just going to be a little blunt right now. We are living in the most moody generation of men I've ever seen in my life. Shame on the men of America today. I could park on this for a while. I have never understood how a man, forgive me for saying this, can be PMS-y. And sometimes, I'm just being blunt. Sometimes I get in this pulpit and I look out, and boy, one Sunday you're fired up and excited, and the next Sunday, a man's just all grumpy and everything. Get over yourself. We're supposed to be the leaders of our house. We're supposed to be the strong leaders of our house. My wife is looking to me to lead. I should be the most excited about going to church, the most excited about serving God, the most excited about singing and saying amen. But today we have men that are here one day and here the next day. That's not biblical. We've switched. We've become like women. We're the ones that have that time of the month. We're the ones that have that hormonal imbalance. Shame on us. We're men. We're not supposed to be that way. And I don't care if this goes over the web because it's true. I have never seen a more soft generation of men, a pansy generation of men, an effeminate generation of men. And we have allowed women to become more masculine because we have robbed their security, and now they've had to assume both duties. Shame on the men of America today. Shame on us. My wife should never have to do the duties and roles as the husband according to Ephesians chapter 5. She needs to have the liberty, the security, and the confidence to do the role that God gave to her. And she shouldn't be always worried about her husband holding his hand, making sure he's in a good mood today. How many saved tonight? Let your heart tell your face sometimes, man. I'm telling you the truth. I've just never seen it. And I'll tell you why it's important that I talk to this age group of men. Because there's a group of teenagers coming up that's even softer than this generation. I see it at camps. I see it at conferences. Teenagers, they don't even know how to break a sweat anymore. I had a teenager say recently, I don't want to go to camp because I don't want to get sweaty. I wanted to start wrestling right there and say, that's sweat right there, man. Mama's boys. Again, why are they mama's boys? Because the men have failed. When we always say mama's boy, we really should switch it and call it daddy's boy, because the dad is the one that let the mama become the mama's boy. She's the reason he's the mama's boy. No, it's the dad who failed the mama, and mama became the mama's boy. My wife's going to give an illustration tonight, and she doesn't mind me telling you this. My wife tried to correct me one time years ago. My first year of marriage, we went to Pennsylvania. I was new in her church. And her home church in Pennsylvania is very Yankee, high church, stuffy. And someone was singing Amazing Grace or something. I got excited and said, amen. And she was worried about what the church would think about her new husband. She's kind of showing off her husband. This is my home church I grew up in. And she grabbed my arm and said, shh, don't say amen. I didn't say anything. We didn't have a baby yet, so we got in the car. We drove off. I said, babe, yes? Never, ever correct me in church again or try to take my shout. You know what's happened since then? She's never tried. And my wife will tell you one thing. Look, she's going to tell them tonight. I know what I read her outline. She's going to tell her tonight. She's seen my dirty laundry. She washes my dirty laundry. But she will testify of one thing about me. She says, that man is never in a bad mood. That's the way it should be. Thomas Jefferson said this, few things should disturb a man a little bit. Nothing should disturb a man a whole lot or much. It's true. We've got to get over ourselves sometimes, man. Because we have become women, and you can't have two heads makes a monster. Let me tell you a bigger problem than that. Two women in a house makes a big problem. And it confuses our kids. And we're teaching boys the soft side of marriage. That's the mom's job. My job is to be the strength of the house, the pillar of the house, the leader of the house. God called me Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Jesus has never failed me. His mercies are new every day. Every day I can count on Him to be faithful. Every day I can count on Him to be strong. Every day I can count on Him to be my leader. He's never failed me one time. I will never be as perfect as Him, but I sure can try. But today we've allowed the roles to get reversed, and it doesn't bother us. And it's gotten so bad, we have a demented, feeble woman running for president. And he says, shame if a man... good point, Dad. I don't think a real man could vote for her. Amen. And he says, shame a man will vote for her. And a lot of them say they will. A real man won't vote for her, Sam. That's exactly right. All right, let me get nice again. He said, we all understood that amen there. Now, so number three. All right, number three. And then I want to open up for some discussion. I really wanted to... Good, we're doing good. I want to give us some time to discuss why women don't feel secure. And again, I'm not... Look, this is going over the web a little bit, so... I'm not preaching at you men per se. I know the Wednesday night crowd, you guys are solid men, but at the same time, I'm just burdened about this. And maybe I see a little bit more than you all do because I'm around thousands of teenage young men every year, and it's scary what I see. You know what my daughter said to me the other day? My 17-year-old daughter came to me and said, Daddy, I might be stuck living with you until I'm 30. Oh, okay. No, you know why she said that? Because it's so hard to find young men today. Brother Tim's daughter, Kristen, told me. She has a hard time finding the men in a school of 1,000. What did they got, 1,000 boys there? 1,000 young men? More than that? So that's 500 young men right there. And then who knows how many in the upper class. She says you have a hard time finding a man. You go to the average Bible college today and it's hard to find a young man who's strong, who's going to take a stand, who's going somewhere in life. We're just so soft today. And it backs up a generation when the roles got reversed. Yep, mama's boys. Yep, my dad's fired up tonight. Amen. Mama's boys, all that. That's right. So number three, here's the deal. We got to realize the role. Now watch this. Brother Samson says, and I like this statement a lot. I say it a lot to teenage boys, man up. Man up's a good one. I got a new one for you. Jesus up. We're supposed to be like Jesus. So if we want to find out how to give security to our wives and give her the confidence to do what she needs to do, then we have to do what we need to do. If I fulfill the role of marriage in my house, then I've just made it easy for my wife to fulfill her role, and I've made it easy for my children to follow the leadership of the house. But when my role is messed up, it'll automatically mess up her role. Automatically. She will struggle fulfilling, and that's why you've heard the statement many times before. And by the way, why do we hear it so much? Women are more spiritual than men. Women will do anything. Women will come to the altar and cry and pray for sinners, but a man will just sit back and fold his arms. Why is that? Why? We're supposed to be like Jesus? Different. Jesus up tonight, man. Jesus up tonight, man. It's time for us to realize we have the awesome, it's scary and awesome at the same time, honor of being called the Jesus Christ of this marriage relationship. And she, my wife, is the church of this relationship. God in His Word, led by the Apostle Paul, Holy Spirit of God, or Paul, led by the Holy Spirit of God, writes Ephesians to the church and tells us we are the Jesus Christ of marriage and our wives are the church of the marriage. And with that thought, we realize the significance of that, the power behind it, and then we begin to study and find out what Jesus did. He did cherish and nourish and love and lead and guide and was reliable and was steady and was strong and was somebody that she could lean on. And that strength spreads through the house and it causes the house to get strong and allows kids to grow up in proper functionality and allows these kids to become productive citizens, Christians and churches that make a difference on this planet that desperately needs it today. But it starts with us, man. It starts right here. And I've got to realize that. And turn the reverse the role back to the way it should be. And I get to realize that we get to be men. And we get to fulfill the example of being Jesus Christ in our homes. All right, so tonight we see the reason for marriage. Number two, we've seen the problem with it was reversal. Number three, we've seen that we need to realize the awesome responsibility we have in being called the groom, the husband, the Jesus Christ of a marriage. That's powerful. All right. 7:29. I want to stop early on purpose because I want this to be an open forum discussion. Ask questions. Make comments. Anybody?